All right, we're going to get started. If you have your Bible with you this evening, and I hope you do, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians 13. We're going to look at verse 14 this evening. So 2 Corinthians 13, 14. And this is going to be as we continue through our final section in our study of Paul's prayers as recorded for us in the pages of the New Testament. We've been learning from Paul's faithful and fervent example, how to better pray in accordance with God's will. And Paul has been good enough to teach us by his example through many, many months what to adore, appreciate, ask for, admonish, and amen in our own prayer lives. We've seen what to adore in prayer, and that is God and all that he is in and of himself. Prayer is primarily an act of worship. We've seen what to appreciate in prayer, and that is Christ and all that we have found in him. We've seen what to ask for in prayer, and that is for every need that our brothers and sisters in Christ possess. And we've seen what to admonish in prayer, and that is to pray at all times and all circumstances about all things so that all may give thanks. So finally, we're at the last section of our study of Paul's prayers, and that is what to amen in prayer. And this section of what to amen in prayer is taken from the 15 benedictions that Paul uses in the pages of Scripture when he says things like grace be, or love be, or peace be to his audience. These are truths that Paul speaks over his audience, spiritual truths that apply to all Christians at all times. And that's what we saw last week when we considered the region and the recipients of these amens. If you are in Christ, then these truths are for you. Whether you're on a mountaintop or whether you're going through a valley, these are unshakable realities that your spirit can cling to. Unshakable realities that reflect the unchangeable nature of your relationship with God in Christ Jesus. And so tonight we're going to start looking at them one at a time. And 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14 is an excellent place to start. It's known as the Christian benediction by many because it introduces us to the first three of five unshakable truths that are ours in Christ Jesus. And those three truths that 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14 present for us is that the grace of Christ is with us, the love of God is with us, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is with us as well. In short, not only on our best days, but also on our worst, we experience participation in the very life and the fellowship of the triune God. And that is a truth to remember and rejoice in at all times. This evening, we'll just look at that first section of that the grace of Christ is with us, because that is the main benediction that Paul gives repeatedly in all his epistles. And so we'll take our time with this first one tonight, and then continue on next week. So, but before we dive in and start looking at the realities of these amens that are ours in Jesus, let's approach the Lord in prayer tonight and ask him to help us understand what he has given us in his word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity we have as a people to gather together to this place tonight to worship you. To think that we as creatures can draw near to you and offer up prayers of thanksgiving and requests and supplications to you is an astonishing thought. Father, we thank you for the work of Christ that has made this bridge by which we can draw near to you and find complete and total acceptance in your sight because of what he has done. And so, Father, help us to appreciate the privilege that prayer is and help us to lean into it tonight as a needy people. May we lean on you as the one who daily bears us up and gives us strength. Father, help us to understand your word tonight so that we might better appreciate and rejoice in the grace that is ours in Christ Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when it comes to the realities of the amens that Paul gives in the pages of the New Testament, what we can find out is that the first reality that Paul reminds us here of in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, a reality that all of us can rejoice in at all times as believers, is that the grace of Christ is with us. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Literally in the Greek, the grace of the Lord Jesus with you all is what's there. Right? So here Paul is reminding these Corinthian believers of a sure and a certain truth that all of them can rely on at any time, and that is that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is with them all in that very moment. Now, what is grace? This is important for us to know because this is the most prevalent benediction, the most prevalent amen, the most prevalent truth and certainty that Paul speaks over his believing audiences. It is the truth that he couldn't get away from. It is that grace was with them. Grace was with them. Colossians 4:18, Paul writes, "Grace be with you." Ephesians 6:24, "Grace be with all." 1 Timothy 6:21, "Grace be with you." Titus 3:15, "Grace be with you all." And then I'm throwing in Hebrews 13:25 for good luck. "Grace be with all of you." So the most prevalent certainty that Paul speaks over believers is that grace will be with them at all times, in all circumstances. So what is this grace that will never leave us nor forsake us? Well, the word is charis in the Greek, and it means gift or favor. And there's a lot of definitions that have been put forward that have tried to encapsulate everything that grace is. Some try to define grace as divine enablement. Others turn it into a helpful acronym of God's riches at Christ's expense. But one aspect of this word charis that I like to remember is that charis or grace comes from the Greek word which is kairo, which means to rejoice. And so one way that you and I could literally define grace is that which is rejoiced in. Grace is that which is rejoiced in. And so when Paul writes, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all," he's really reminding them that everything that can be rejoiced in Christ Jesus is yours. You didn't just get some of the grace of the Lord Jesus. You got all of it. Everything that can be rejoiced in Christ Jesus, is yours. There's not, and this is so helpful because there's so much false teaching out there. That means that there's no second wave of the Holy Spirit that you're missing out on as a believer. That means there's not some higher knowledge or some mystical power or some deeper living that's been withheld from you. When you came to Jesus, you got all of him. All of his grace, all that can be rejoiced in Christ Jesus is yours. As Ephesians 1:3 says, God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. There's not one element of grace that has been withheld from you at all. Everything in the storehouses of heavens are yours in Christ Jesus. And that's because you have grace, notice, of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says. Paul emphasizes this connection repeatedly in most of his benedictory amens. It is that the grace of Christ is with us. Romans 16:20 says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." 1 Corinthians 16:23, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you." Galatians 6:18, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Philippians 4:23, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." 1 Thessalonians 5:28, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." 2 Thessalonians 3:18, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." Philemon 25, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Do you get the point, right? Paul never wants us to forget that the grace that we have at all times, in all circumstances, the grace that is with us is the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself. In other words, you and I have the grace of the one who owns it all, if I can put it that way. Not merely the grace of Moses or Elijah or David as servants of the house, but as Hebrews 3, 5 through 6 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Son who is over the house. That is the grace that is with us. It is the grace of the one who owns it all, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Romans 8:17 reminds us, we are heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. And therefore, as children of God, there is truly no good divine gift, favor, or blessing that is off limits to us. It's just like the picture, the famous picture of John F. Kennedy Jr. when he was playing under the Resolute desk at the White House while his father, the president, was working. Because JFK Jr. was the son of the president, that gift of being able to play under the Resolute desk, have you ever done that before, right? Like, It was not off limits to him. He was the son of the president. It was his to enjoy. And so it is with us as children of God. There is no truly good divine gift, favor, or blessing that's off limits to us. As Romans 8:32 reminds us, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Notice, all good things that God gives us, all of those good things, all of that grace is given to us how? It says in Romans 8:32, with him, with Christ Jesus, which is the last point I want us to see from all of this. And that is that grace being with us is ultimately just another way of saying that Christ is with us. See, what's interesting is that there are actually two occurrences in the New Testament where Paul begins to give his standard benediction at the end of his letter, the standard benediction which usually goes, grace be with you all, but instead he says, the Lord be with you all. So, for example, in 2 Thessalonians 3:16, he writes, the Lord be with you all. And then one sentence later, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And he takes the same approach later in 2 Timothy 4:12, where Paul again takes the standard benediction of grace be with your spirit, and instead states, the Lord be with your spirit, grace be with you. So you sit there and say, okay, well, what is it then? Is it the Lord who is with us, or is it the grace of the Lord that is with us? And the answer is, yes, both. Both. When Christ gives us his grace, he is, in fact, giving us himself. That is what John 1:16 declared when the apostle John wrote, therefore, from Christ's fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Receiving grace is receiving Jesus. Over in Philippians 4:13, does Paul write in that famous verse, I can do all things through grace that strengthens me? No, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And over in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, Paul describes grace there as the power of Christ resting upon him. And then finally in Titus 2:11, and I could give a lot more, but Paul describes Jesus coming to bring salvation to all people as the grace of God appearing. So grace came when Jesus came. So Paul really hammers this home throughout the New Testament, that the grace of God is ultimately the very presence of God himself. After all, what better definition of grace could you possibly give than the one that Paul gives in Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work his good pleasure. That's grace. It is God himself, it is Christ himself working in you both to desire and to do what pleases him. As one author put it, grace is everything Jesus. Grace lives because he lives, works because he works, and matters because he matters. To be saved by grace is to be saved by Christ, not by an idea, doctrine, creed, or church membership, but saved by Jesus himself. You say, okay, what's the big deal, Pastor? I mean, why are you making this point? Why is it so important to understand the correlation between the presence of grace and the presence of Christ? Well, I think it's important because it does two things when we really stop to think about it. First, it destroys a deception that we're very prone to thinking. And second, it develops devotion in our hearts for Christ. So first, knowing that the presence of grace can be equated with the presence of Christ, the presence of grace can be equated with the presence of Christ. That destroys the deception that someone can somehow possess God's saving grace while at the same time continually living in unrepentant sin. This is exactly, by the way, the deception that the Corinthian church was facing, the one that Paul gives this benediction to. You read the surrounding context of this benediction, and you can see how confused and conflicted and downright carnal those Corinthian churchgoers were, to the point where Paul basically says, man, you know, some of you need to take a good look at yourself to see whether even indeed Christ is in you. Paul said that because he understood that grace isn't ultimately a thing like some people make it out to be today, who say things like, well, grace allows me to do whatever I want. I can do that and just ask forgiveness for it later. No, grace is not ultimately a thing. Grace is a person. His name is Jesus. Grace comes from him. And Jesus doesn't allow you to do whatever you want. He enables you at last to do what is right and to do what pleases him. That's grace, because that's Christ. You cannot do as the false teachers of Jude 4 try to do, of perverting the grace of our God into sensuality. You can't do that, because one who has received grace has received Christ himself, and Christ came to destroy the works of the devil, including sin. And so, remembering that the presence of grace is equated to the presence of Christ, it destroys our deception that we often try to tell ourselves. And then second, it develops our devotion. See, knowing that grace is ultimately the presence of Christ in us shows us why the word of grace, the throne of grace, and the fellowship of grace is so important to us here at Grace Chapel, right? It's because as we approach these ordinary means of grace, we're not seeking something, we're seeking someone. We're seeking Christ himself. When we approach these three ordinary means of grace, we're enjoying the word of Christ himself. We're approaching the throne of Christ himself, and we're enjoying the fellowship of Christ himself. We are communing with Christ himself, and in our devotions, we're not seeking for something other than him. We're seeking Christ himself. No separate thing of grace. And so what is grace? It is everything that can be rejoiced in Christ Jesus ultimately. It's Christ himself. And Paul reminds us here that the grace of Christ is with us. How surely? As surely as Christ is with us. For he himself has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So now we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Believer, it doesn't matter what the previous 3 days have looked like in your life. You can say with Paul in Romans 5, verse 2, that I stand in grace tonight. Why? Because you stand in Christ, and no one can snatch you out of his hands. This is a sure and certain reality that can be spoken over every believer tonight. Everything that can be rejoiced in Christ Jesus, the very grace of the one who owns it all, it's all yours. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is with you, and nothing can take that from you. And therefore, the application is, well, then let's amen that back to the Lord in prayer tonight as his people, right? Let's rejoice in, both for ourselves and for each other. And let's, under full confidence that the grace of Christ himself is with us, let's take that truth and let's pray. And let's pray. So, in light of that, I wanted to share that from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, is that the grace of Christ is with us. And we'll look at the rest of that verse next week.